Devin Booker. Book on the spin. Fires for the win! Got it!
Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know, now you do. He is ridiculous. Okay?
Told you were going to hear that a lot today. Again, Kevin Ray and Eddie Johnson on Fox Sports Arizona. That led to the post-game show on Fox Sports Arizona with Tom Leander and our next guest, Suns legend Tom Chambers, joining us here on the show. Tom, what was your reaction when that ball went through the hoop? Can you say it on the air?
Well, we all went crazy. We really did. For a game down there in the bubble, you know, not a whole lot of people are watching. You're not thinking much about it. It was an incredible game. An incredible shot. And when we talked to Devin after the game, I was like, you turned the wrong way. And he's like, no, I turned the right way.
Like, yeah, that's funny.
For him to roll over his right shoulder all the way around and have Kawhi Leonard fly by, you know, top five defender, Paul George jumping at the shot, what, top five defender, mm-hmm. both of them all in his mug, and he just friggin' drains it. What a great, great, great shot that was.
What and you can see across the country today, a lot of websites, a lot of players on Twitter are really paying homage to Devin Booker for coming up with that kind of shot on command. What does that shot on command say about a basketball player, TC?
Well, I mean, you can't say much more about it. That's as clutch a shot as there was. Now, no, it wasn't a playoff game, and no, you know, there was really nothing on the line other than their personal pride. And obviously, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard were doing everything to stop it. But it just shows you how good that young man is. He wanted to take it. He did take it. He got the opportunity. He shot a shot. I haven't seen him turn that way at all. And he just knew it was going to go down. And there's not much more you can say about it other than, It was tremendous. But, you know, of all the people, you know, chiming in and congratulating him and saying, you know, what a shot. I mean, that's today's society with the whole social media thing, and it's cool and it makes you feel good. And I was reading some of them myself. It just shows you how good he is and the respect he's getting right now and earning. I mean, this respect he's getting is something that they're just not handing it over to him. He's earning everything that he gets.
Yeah. Tom Chambers, Suns broadcaster, our guest here on Bickley and Murata. As good as Book has been in these three games, Tom, it hasn't been a one-man show. They're getting contributions. Ricky Rubio's playing really well. Mikal Bridges struggling a little bit offensively, but still making big plays defensively. And Bick and I were talking earlier this week about, you know, this is such a weird situation for all these teams. And there were questions of what teams really want to be there and what teams are going to make the most of this opportunity. And we heard all this talk from Monty Williams throughout the season about culture. It finally feels like the culture is being built. A lot of times that's just words. Do you get the same feeling that this culture is actually being built?
Oh, no question about it. I mean, this whole thing, this whole, you know, go to the bubble and bond as a team and grow as a team and listen to Monty every single day. They've grown so much, and they are loving the experience, and the benefits it's gonna you know, give this team down the road. You know, right now, today, you're seeing it, but next year and the next year and the next year, it's going to be unbelievable. I mean, Monty is an absolute blessing for this group. And what he's selling right now, they're buying it. I mean, everything that he says, they just absorb, they soak up. You see these young guys come along and playing so well. You know, I mean, even Cameron Payne, who he knew from Oklahoma City, knew what he was capable of doing, brought him in here, told him what he needed to do, and look what he's doing. And Cam Johnson, I mean, this guy wasn't even supposed to be pick what, you know, 10 within 10 picks of where they picked him, and he looks like a steal, like a bargain now. So what they're doing, they see character in people, they're bringing in people that are going to grow with what they're trying to do, and it's just so fun to watch. I mean, seriously, when he made that shot last night, there's not a whole lot of us in the games, but that roof almost blew off the place. We were so, it was just so exciting to see all of this hard work that they're getting paying off.
All right, what do you think? Because as they play these high leverage games, there's very little margin for error. And I thought DeAndre Ayton started well yesterday, but then there were times when he let guys blow by him. His lack of engagement was maddening. And then when D-Book was taking a rest down the stretch, that was the time when I thought DeAndre had to want the ball, had to take over the game, and he just didn't look like he did at that point in time. Where does he have to go to match this moment of what the Suns are trying to accomplish?
You know, it's a great question. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I was watching him on defense, and he wasn't coming up, and guys were going by him. There was a lot of opportunities where he could have come across and tried to block a shot. He didn't. Just did not look engaged, whereas I believe everybody else on the team is, and really getting after it. And it's just so frustrating, because you see him, he'll get 20 and 10, and I'm sure him and his people are looking at the stat sheet saying, oh, wow, that's great. Look what you did. And yet there's so many things there where just his intensity, I don't even care about the stat sheet, just his intensity where he could come over and, you know, when Kawhi was going to the basket all those times, where was DeAndre? He wasn't coming over to try and help and block shots. And I just think that he needs to somehow light the fire. I mean, when he went down to Orlando, he said, yeah, you're going to see the monster in me. And you know, he does a lot of talking, but not a lot of walking. And, yep. and I want him to take that next step. And every time he has one of those games where you're like, okay, he gets it, then you get back to mediocrity. And for them to be winning these games without an inside presence right now is even more unbelievable. And you'd think that you know, when they watch these films, they're going to have to see that he just was not engaged, especially defensively. Zubac wore him out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, it just, he really did. And so he's got to get after it.
Tom Chambers, our guest here on Bickley and Murata on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Obviously, when this all started, the Suns got the invite, the last invite in the Western Conference. Many people said they don't belong there. Playoffs was not even a possibility. With the way that they've played and the way things are shaking out in front of them, I can't believe I'm saying this, TC, but playoffs are a possibility right now. How do you gauge the possibility of that happening?
Well, I mean, there's a possibility, just like Monty said, there's a crack in the door, and we want to bust it open, and that'd be great. But they can win every game down there and not make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, they really can. So these other teams have to basically fall off a cliff. I don't see Portland doing that. You know, Memphis maybe now, because they lost their center power forward, if you will, and so they're not playing well either. But I just don't know. I can't get too excited about playoff hopes or expectations, but I can get excited about the way they're playing and how that's going to translate into next season. So I'm very, very, very excited about that. But for them to get into the playoffs in this situation would be just an absolute miracle. Now, will they be within four games of the eighth spot? Yes, but I believe there will be two or three other teams right there above them that are going to be in that position. And I thought it was going to be Portland and Memphis playing. And I thought Portland could beat Memphis, especially now. But Memphis may fall out of that spot right now, because they just don't seem to have a going for them. And now they lost. Oh my gosh! How come I can't even think of the Jaren Jackson?
The
guy.
They lost yesterday to
meniscus. Yes.
Yep.
So that's going to hurt them bad.
Part of the reason I love listening to you and to EJ is you guys are both you're blunt and honest and candid, and you've also played in meaningful games, and you know what it's like, and you know what it takes to win when you start getting higher and higher up the mountain. What did that feel like for you? Because you could kind of hear EJ kind of vibing with what was going on. It has been a long time since this market, since you guys have experienced and broadcasted meaningful basketball games.
Oh, it's been an eternity. I mean, I've been retired since 97 and talking about the team, and it's been a decade since we've really been able to get excited about it. But there's just so many things, so many, you know, dynamics to what's going on with Monty. What a great hire for him to come in here for 5 years. You know, having Devin drafting him, even the draft this year with Cam Johnson. I just love what's transpiring here. And it looks now, I mean, how many years did the Suns draft somebody high in the first round? And you're like, what did they draft this guy for? And now they're not here. They're, you know, somewhere else in the league trying to make it. So the decisions they're making and getting them in here and developing them and coming together and enjoying each other and playing hard. I mean, it is so fun for me, for Eddie, to watch what's transpiring right now, because it looks to be something that's going to be able to sustain itself for a long period of time.
When you look at this team going into the offseason, whenever it gets here, Tom, and continuing to build for the future, next year will be a big year for Monty Williams and this franchise. What is the biggest ingredient missing in your mind? What should they target this offseason?
I'm not even worried about them targeting anything. I really am not. I think they have the components in every position to be there. They just need DeAndre to become what we all believe he can be. And you know, when he goes out there and he dominates, this team doesn't lose. They really don't. I mean, they lead the league in assists, and that is just such a telling thing. They shoot great from the free throw line. You know, although DeAndre doesn't shoot any free throws, you know, so
right.
they just need him to step up and be a man. And when he does that, when he chooses to do that, because there's nothing holding him back except for himself, then this team could be a, you know, one of those teams that makes the playoffs, and it's just a given every single year.
What do you think about what you've seen so far? I know it's difficult for all the broadcasters involved to be kind of processing this stuff remotely and then trying to give it the proper, you know, excitement and energy and expertise and all that stuff. But from a grand scheme, how do you think these games are coming off? Do you think the NBA's done well in presenting them? They look pretty cool to me.
They look awesome. It looks like a video game.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they just... It looks great. I when I went in there for the first game, I was like, oh man, I hate coming down here. It's 115 freaking degrees. I'm leaving the mountain. I'm doing all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And as soon as I saw the product and what they were doing there, I was like, man, this is kind of cool. You know, this is kind of cool. And then the Suns started playing that way. I mean, even in their three, you know, practice games, if you will, two of the three, they were really good. And then they got into these games, and the first two opponents were, you know, they weren't the greatest ones, but that, you know, Dallas, you know, obviously is a playoff team. But then after that, it went Clippers, and it's going to get even tougher. And they just keep rising to the occasion, and they're taking full advantage of what's going on down there. You got to give the league a lot of credit because it does look good. They're protecting the players, you know, whereas in other sports, it's much more difficult because they can't put them inside of a gym and not let them go somewhere when you're talking about football and baseball. So it's a much more difficult, you know, process there. But I can't say enough about them, you know, putting these guys in a safe spot and allowing them to compete in this situation and giving everybody that had a chance to make the playoffs an opportunity. Even though the Suns, you didn't think they had a chance, with this play-in thing, there may be a chance, and it's really fun to watch.
Tom, last thing before we let you go, we appreciate your time. Based on what you've seen at the bubble, has anything you've seen in terms of the top-level teams changed your pick to win the championship this year, and who is that team?
You know, I don't think anything has really changed. The only thing that's changed is teams don't feel that motivated, in my opinion, the really good teams, to worry about their seating because there's no home court advantage now. They're all playing on the same court.
Yeah.
There's no fans for anybody.
That's true.
So that's going to change what they're going to do. Now, you may see them want to move up or down on the opponent they get, but not so much whether they're fourth or fifth or eighth or first. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's just the opponent they're going to play. So you could see some, you know, posturing and positioning for that. But this lack of a home court advantage is the only thing that I see that's going to really change, you know, the outcome of games. So they're playing for personal pride now is basically all it is. And so you see these teams like the LeBron-led teams or the Giannis-led teams, they're still going to be right there. They're going to be the teams to beat.
Yeah. Tom, thanks so much for the time, as always. We really appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Tom Chambers, Suns legend and broadcaster. You can catch him on the pregame, halftime, postgame with Tom Leander on Fox Sports Arizona. He joined us here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
We are. Yesterday and today were the first 2 days we were allowed to have the bets for some walkthrough time, and it was really good. Obviously, year two, having, you know, all three phases back, when you're talking about, you know, Jeff Rogers, Vance, and myself, much smoother this year, understanding of what we're trying to accomplish, even though we lost a lot of time throughout the spring. But it was good. Guys have a good understanding of what we want to be. And as far as next week goes, we got a long ways to go before we can actually truly practice. You know, we'll get on the field at some point in the next week and start moving around, but the real practices won't be for quite some time.
Cliff Kingsbury, Cardinals head coach, via Zoom yesterday, speaking with the media as training camp underway for the Cardinals and the rest of the NFL. And I'll say this, and he kind of touched on it there. Thank goodness the Cardinals are not going into this season with a first-year head coach and first-year coordinator.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what that will mean in the grand scheme of things, but you can hear it in Cliff Kingsbury's voice and a lot of the quotes. He's pretty open and honest about how much you know, more comfortable everybody is this season. DeAndre Hopkins, you know, we played some sound from him yesterday. talking about, yeah, I'm new to this, but everybody that's been here says we're so far ahead of where we were last year. I mean, just from an operational standpoint, that's such a, a feather in your cap for a lot of teams that aren't making those coaching transitions this year.
Yeah. Listen, no, I totally agree with that. There's a dichotomy here that we're going to be talking about right up until week one, and I think the Cardinals they caught a break in the timing of this. We know the anxiety Cliff Kingsbury felt going into last year. Could you imagine the anxiety he would have felt, all things been considered, had this year been his first year? Had he been, plucked out of college where he had been fired at his alma mater, got a life preserver job at USC, and now you bring in that guy, and now he doesn't have time to kind of even get anything installed? That would be a real hard ask of any head coach. You look at the first-timers in the NFL this year, a guy like Mike McCarthy in Dallas, he's done it before, so you would hope that it wouldn't be a huge deal with him. But a guy like Cliff Kingsbury and doing something unconventional and new and all that, last year was a good time for that learning curve to take place.
Well, there is a college coach from last year that's making the elevation to the pros, and that's Matt Rhule in Carolina, who really strikes me as a business-like guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's coaching the most talented team, but I think that'll be the team to gauge on just how difficult that transition can be.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, there's no doubt about it. And one of the things that the Cardinals have is an advantage, and I hope that they that they don't assume too much, is that there is familiarity. They've got 95% of their offense. It's all returning guys. DeAndre Hopkins, the one significant add. And again, I think the loss of Marcus Gilbert as the opt-out is something the team probably planned for, because Marcus Gilbert has never shown the ability to stay healthy. So mm-hmm. I think everything about the offense is as manageable as it can be for a team, given the current situations of having to prep for an NFL season. The guy I worry about is Vance Joseph and the defense and what they're going to be able to do.
Yeah, that's the thing that still pops off the page to you when you look at, Joseph is back after, quite honestly, an unimpressive first year
mm-hmm.
in guiding that defense, and there's a lot of new pieces, a lot of new key pieces on that defense. Just to say, because your coordinator is back, everything's buttoned up, that's not the case. That'll be the area to watch in training camp mm-hmm. or early in the season for the Cardinals. Now, there's still this big question on, can football even work? And the New Orleans Saints are kind of doing their own system to get around this, kind of a voluntary bubble kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Cliff Kingsbury spoke about players and the responsibility they have if they truly want to play football this year.
I feel like the longer we go, the more it's about doing your due diligence and doing what's right. As far as we know, protocol-wise, and being where you should be and trying to avoid situations that you could put yourself at risk. We all have a great appreciation right now that are at this facility for being able to have a job and being able to be together and try to pull this thing off. But we also understand it can be taken quickly. I do feel our players understand what their actions will accomplish and what, the wrong actions can tear down. And I like where our mindset's at. It's going to take everybody for the entire 6-7 months, and I do feel like our team understands that.
Yeah, you hope so. And I mm-hmm. think most teams in baseball and football right now feel that same way. I'm sure the Miami Marlins felt that way a couple weeks ago. I'm sure the St. Louis Cardinals of Major League Baseball felt that way a couple weeks ago.
You might have worried about the 1993 Suns and whether they could have stayed out of the bars even in a pandemic. I don't think you have to worry about this Cardinal football team. Their quarterback is a homebody. Larry Fitzgerald is the leader, and he is not bouncing around from the W to, you know what I mean? They've got a very professional thing going. They don't have a lot of knuckleheads.
Only takes
they've
one.
Had got, well, you're right. That is true. That is very, very true. But in the past, they've had guys who couldn't stay out of the casinos. They've had guys who, couldn't stay out of Old Town Scottsdale.
And stay away from the wings, if you know what I mean.
But I think their nucleus, it's what I think you're seeing is, and I find this fascinating, but the teams that really believe have something that they really believe in, they don't want to waste it. And so the teams that really feel it are the ones that are taking additional measures internally to keep themselves virus-free. And, you know, it's...
See what the Broncos are doing?
No.
The players have to walk through. It looks like a. It looks like one of the security screeners that you would walk through in an airport, but it apparently sprays sanitizing, some sort of sanitizer on the players.
Is that
over
right?
Your whole body? Yeah. Like a spray tan machine?
Well, it's, you
that's
know.
That's how I understood it, yes.
Listen, I told you about the wacky perils of my vacation. You know what it could have been for me, Vinny? The other thing we were thinking of doing was we were going to go join my my family and my sister's side in Michigan. Every summer they go off to a cabin and they hang out by the lake and just kind of just chill, right? And we've done it before and it's fun.
It's got a John Candy Great Outdoors vibe.
It kind of does. It kind of does. And a little of that goes a long way for me. So I bailed on that. My entire family, pretty much my entire family, came down with COVID-19 during their trip. So I've got I've got a couple of nieces who are both pregnant who have this right now.
Oh, no.
Now, they're dealing with it so far so good, okay? But it's pretty much all in my sister's side of the family, and it was all kind of happened in that weekend getaway.
How many people were in the cabin?
Probably about 9.
250?
250. No.
Was it one of those Louisville parties?
Well, my niece is a nurse, and she contracted it at her place of work. And had we gone and joined them, that might have happened to me as well. But what's interesting is my sister, who is 62, is scot-free. Everybody else who was there had it, caught it, except my sister, who's the one in her 60s. All her tests came back negative. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But it's all good so far. They're all trending in the right direction. It's not because, like I said, there's a couple of them who are pregnant, and it's like the consequences of that obviously are horrifying.
Yeah, hope everybody.
Yeah, no,
okay.
I'm not trying to bring anyone down, but I'm just saying it's.
Well, on the football thing, we talked about how them by baseball going first without a bubble. It teaches them that they aren't going to be able to survive without a bubble. Well, they're not going to have a bubble. So maybe it'll teach them that if we're going to survive without a bubble, we have to take it much more seriously than baseball did.
Yes.
That's
a good way of putting
it. The sheer numbers have to be concerning because baseball, they're traveling with 33 players. Right now, that's the way things are shaking out with your 30-man roster still set and your 3-man taxi squad. You're traveling with how many football players and staff members?
Yeah.
I mean, they're traveling parties. We talked about it. So
it's about 120 to 150, right?
Again, even though, you know, like Jared said, it only takes one.
Yeah.
It's so contagious.
I hope they learn from it, and I hope the National Football League as an entity is really watching closely what Major League Baseball has done or failed to do.
Yeah.
They got a Herculean task.
Because one thing football cannot do is they can't like take 2 weeks off for certain teams and then do doubleheader games or something in a week.
Can't.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, let's play doubleheaders, two quarters each, two and a half quarters each. Yeah, you can't do that in football. The one thing you can do in football that you can't do in baseball, and you know they're already considering this, is flying in and out of these cities, eliminating the hotel stay, eliminating the night in foreign cities. Now you've got your
plane. I don't know why you wouldn't do that.
I don't either. You've got your plane, and you can keep your plane sanitized. You can take it to the visiting stadium. You can get in and out. If protocol is good in those cities and the stadiums, you should be perfectly fine to get through a football game. If I was a football team, I wouldn't spend one night in a hotel. Now, maybe near the end of the season before a huge game, I wouldn't go that route.
Yeah, but again, they didn't pare down their schedule in terms of geographic limitations either.
No,
so
they didn't.
The Cardinals have three East Coast trips. What are you going to leave at like 3 o'clock in the morning to make a game at the Meadowlands?
I don't know. I mean,
desperate times call for desperate measures, but
there's going to be no football game on the East Coast that starts any earlier than 1 p.m. East Coast time. So you would have to with the time difference, you'd have to leave. To get there at a decent
takes about
time,
4 hours, 5 hours
to
get
5
there.
5 a.m. Yeah. maybe you're right.
Well, it seemed like
maybe
a good idea.
Yeah, it seemed like a good idea. Hey, you can sleep on the plane.
Yes,
stretch
absolutely.
Out on the plane.
They don't sit, in the same rows now anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Coming up next, Wednesday edition of Start, Sit, Cut. Straight ahead, Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Today's Sanderson Ford Poll Question on the front page of ArizonaSports.com reads, after a 3-0 start, how many wins will the Suns have after playing all eight seeding games? Your choices, 3, 4 or 5, 6 or 7, or 8?
I'm going to go the optimistic route. I'm going to say 6 or 7, Vinny.
All right, I'll cast the vote on behalf of Dan Bickley, and that's leading right now. 54% are in that group with you. 34% say 4 or 5. 8% say they're running the table. And 4% say they've won their last game. The lunatic fringe again on both sides. That's today's Sanderson Ford poll question. You can vote on it right now at ArizonaSports.com.
Start.
Sit.
Cut. Yeah, we're working on an open. Don't worry.
Okay.
But as of now, yes. I'm going to give you three things, and it will either be literally or metaphorically. You tell me which one you'll start, which one you will sit, which one you will cut. First one, tie game, big game. Who do you want with the ball in their hand? Start, sit, cut. Devin Booker, Charles Barkley, Steve Nash.
Ooh.
Dan
Booker. All right. I would say I am going to start Devin Booker. I am going to sit Steve Nash. I'm going to cut Charles Barkley.
Yeah, I mean, are we assuming if they have the ball in their hands that they have to take the last shot?
Yeah. Well, no.
Well, in that case, I'm agreeing exactly with Bick. I'm starting Book.
Really?
I'm sitting Nash, and I'm cutting Barkley.
I can't believe neither of you chose Nash.
No, look, listen, I know where you're going with this, because Steve Nash had a great
super
buffet
clutch
of moments, playoff moments during that run. But Devin Booker, the stats on him and the game winners he's hit a ton of them for his age. I saw a stat that only LeBron has made more. Have you seen that stat, Vinny? You know what I'm talking about?
I thought about 30 points.
30 points and a buzzer beater game winner. He's among the all-time leaders in checking off those boxes.
All right. No love for Charles
I don't know how
Barkley.
They searched that, by the way. I was trying to figure out how I could search that.
I know. All right. Who's your general manager? Start, sit, cut. James Jones, Mike Hazen, Steve Keim.
Ooh. I start on this one?
Yep.
How come you didn't include the Coyotes?
Do
they have a general manager right now?
I'm still, despite this start, I'm still starting Mike Hazen.
Wow.
I'm sitting. Oof. This is a tough one.
Mm.
Before the Hopkins deal, I probably was going to cut Keim, but I'll sit Keim and I'll cut James Jones, even though I like what he's doing too.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go in that exact order. Mike Hazen, overall, the body of work, what he brings to the job, he's number one. Steve Keim is sitting, and James Jones is being cut.
That is a lot of faith in Mike Hazen, considering his moves have not worked out for this season.
Well, would you switch the order based on the result of 11 baseball games?
No, I'm overreacting. You're right.
What I'm saying is that's the whole thing with managing these people in these jobs, because very often they make good moves and the players, for whatever reason, really underperform. Maybe they don't prepare the same. Maybe they don't take it as seriously. Could be a lot of things that's outside, but the GM's got to wear that. So you as an organization have to be real smart at letting go of good people based on the vagaries of athletic competition. That's all I'm saying. Steelers have got that philosophy down to a T.
Mm-hmm. All right, you are locked in a room with one of these on your own. The actual animal. Start, sit, cut. A wildcat, a coyote, a Diamondback.
Oof. So which one? Okay, so we're going to rank which one. The one we're cutting is the one we're scared of the most.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. I will start the Coyote. I will sit the Wildcat. I will cut the filthy Rattlesnake.
I will start the Coyote. I mean, there's dog in him. Maybe you can reason with him.
Sure.
Who's a good boy?
That's a good point.
I'm sitting the D-back.
I like that.
And I'm cutting the Wildcat because I never want to spend any time in a room with any Wildcat.
No version of a Wildcat.
Oh, Vinny. Well done. Well done.
All right. Today, National Underwear Day. Start, sit, cut. Boxers, briefs. Boxer briefs.
So I'll start here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting boxer briefs. I mean, it's all the comfort of the boxer with all the support of the brief.
The best of
I'm
world.
Sitting boxer,
uh-huh.
And I'm cutting briefs. They shouldn't exist.
I'm right with Vinny. Boxer briefs, number one, I'm starting. I am sitting boxers. I am cutting the briefs.
I'm starting boxers by far. I do not like any kind of...
I don't need to know this.
Okay, well... All right.
You don't need any kind of what, Jarrett?
Constriction. Let me put it that way. All right, last one. Punched, start, sit, cut. A punch in the stomach from Mike Tyson. A fastball to the back from Randy Johnson. Or an open field, a sack from Chandler Jones.
Yeah, I'm starting the open field sack from Chandler Jones. That's a pretty obvious one to me. The sitting, I'm going to absorb the fastball in the back from Randy Johnson. I will pass on the punch in the stomach from Mike Tyson.
Yeah, I would start the fastball in the back. That would not be pleasant, but knowing my physical makeup, the other two could kill me. So I will
turn into dust.
I will sit the sack from Chandler Jones, and I will cut the Mike Tyson stomach punch.
So the only thing about the stomach punch is that you can prepare your stomach.
But the sack, you can go down with the flow.
Well,
a punch, you're absorbing something that at
the back you really can't. You could.
You got to hope that fastball doesn't hit you right around the kidneys, which it did with Mark Grace, and he was peeing blood for a couple of days.
Yeah. But he got better.
Yeah.
There would be no getting better from a Mike Tyson stomach punch for me.
You're right.
Covered a lot of ground today in start, sit, cut. Coming up next, one of the contributors from the Phoenix Suns bench in their run in Orlando will join us. We'll talk to Cameron Payne from the bubble. It's Bickley and Murata on this Wednesday, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata.
Bickley and Murata.
Apparently Cameron Payne's still getting some post-practice shots up in Orlando at the bubble.
Join you want to talk some golf?
He will talk at some point. Yeah, we can do that. Go ahead. What do you got, Bick?
Are you serious? We can actually talk golf?
You would be surprised to learn how much golf we talked when you were gone.
That's actually true. This became the Bryson DeChambeau show.
Did it really?
Yes.
Okay.
We had him on. No,
we didn't.
Now that would make me mad. That would really make me mad. Okay, here's what I want to say about this upcoming tournament. They apparently they are really getting aggressive with trying to get golf in front of the mainstream. And this tournament being held in San Francisco is going to allow this tournament to finish in prime time on Sunday. And because it's taking place in San Francisco, and you do the math, and you start.
They have enough daylight.
Yeah, you have enough daylight, and boom. And so that's going to be really advantageous for the PGA Tour at a time when the ratings have been pretty darn good. Now, this is the first major of the year. And this is Tiger Woods is involved in this. Brooks Koepka is the reigning champion at this. Bryson DeChambeau is a guy that has created some waves and I think has brought a lot of appeal to the tour for a lot of weird freak show reasons. This is going to be a big boy course, man. I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of drivers hit on this course. It's going to help the big hitters, so that means this should help Phil. It should help John Rahm.
It should help the Lama.
For the effort, you know.
The big hitter, right.
So that I think all that is really good, and the PGA Tour, they're also committed, Vinny. I don't know if you saw this, but for the first time in history now, they're going to go 50% of their commercial breaks will be split screen. They've done it a lot, but they've never gone to 50% of their inventory. Now, I've got a couple questions about it. I don't know if that means they're adding commercial breaks to the mix to compensate for this, for being so generous. I know from interviewing an advertising guy in New York City about 8 years ago, or maybe less, whenever this technology was coming to the fore, there were some early results that said that this is going to be much more effective at getting your message across to people than actually going to commercial break and risking the audience leaving and changing the channel. Okay, mm-hmm. So the people on the inside really think this methodology works a lot better than conventional. It was starting to really aggravate me early in the PGA Championship when a lot of the really good stuff, the guys on the tee box that you wanted to see drive, they were happening during the time of the commercial break. So it was as if the PGA Tour and the networks now were playing a game here where they were taking the highest leverage moments, the stuff you really want to see and enjoy and listen to, and now you're running the commercial next to it. That didn't work for me because part of what's happening on the PGA Tour is this Bryson DeChambeau weirdo who is hitting the ball further than anyone has ever seen, right? I mean, the guy wants to live till he's 130. Right?
Doesn't that sound horrible?
Yeah. It does sound horrible.
No, it doesn't. That's ridiculous. I would love to be 130.
Well, you already have the pop culture taste of a 130-year-old
right, right.
man.
That's right. You already act like you are.
Because I yell at kids and the way they eat their soup.
But here's my point now. So we're at a tournament now where the drives are going to matter. Hitting bombs is going to matter. So I want to hear that. I want to hear when Bryson DeChambeau tees off. And what they were doing earlier is they were using those moments when he was approaching a tee box to go to commercial break to further assure that you're not changing the channel. Mm-hmm. And I don't want them giving away the prime real estate during these split screen endeavors. I don't particularly dig them. I'm not sure I'm one who likes the idea of these split screen things during a commercial break. I would just sit through less inventory and just come back to the course to get the full screen experience. But that's me. I know everyone's different.
Yeah, maybe you'll adjust as a viewer. So, by the way, we've got an update from Edmonton. The Coyotes came out and Darcy Kuemper was getting peppered with shot after shot. They were outshot 8-0 in the first 5 minutes of the first period. Mm-hmm. First shot on goal for the Coyotes, a deflection by Christian Dvorak.
It's amazing how often that happens. And how right now the shot differential is 11-1
and the score
of Nashville 12-1, and the score is 1-0.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. Jalmerson teed up a slapper, and Dvorak got a
slapper.
Stick on it. A slapper
teed up a slapper.
That shot really bopped.
Ooh, a banger!
it was a banger.
A great deflection. That's great high end coordination from Christian Dvorak, right?
And at least early on, despite playing in goal for the second straight day, Kuemper looks pretty good early on.
Yeah, he's a good goaltender. Yeah.
He's on his game.
Yeah, I didn't think anything about yesterday, and this is good. This is exactly the kind of start that should kind of fill everybody with some hope. That's good stuff.
Isn't that kind of wild? How in hockey you could purposely block the vision of the goalie so he can't see the puck coming at him. Imagine if in baseball that somebody could run in front of the batter right before
until
the ball
the last
gets there.
Minute. Yeah, that's a good point.
So he couldn't swing and hit it.
But there's a big difference between stopping it with your body and swinging a bat and hitting a ball that's coming at you.
That's true.
You know, but it's an interesting thought.
Yeah. So, yeah, 1-0. They're at a timeout now in Edmonton. Coyotes lead in Game 3. They're wearing the Kachinas. That could be a good sign. Back to golf. Vic, we were thinking alike today. Because you sent me an email before the show, after our show meeting, said, hey, you want to bring back fantasy golf this week?
I think we should.
You bet your sweet bippy I do.
All right.
I think we, yeah, I love that
idea.
It's
a major.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's a good field.
Let's definitely do it. It's a good field. It's a major. It's sparked interest in golf from you two yo-yos that I never thought you had.
I mean, I lost the interest pretty
even
quick
because
it turns out I'm terrible at fantasy golf.
Even though I still cannot get you back on the golf course, Vinny. I'm right about that time where I'm going to stop asking
it's
you.
It's too
brother.
Hot now. You got to give him
well,
benefit
you're right.
of the
that
doubt
that was a bad idea on my behalf.
Yeah. And you even said it was miserable out there.
It was, but it didn't stop Zach Lind, man. He just grinded through it.
Yeah, he's a golfing machine.
He's a drummer.
Now,
that's
have you ever
why.
Met the other guys in Jimmy Eat World?
No, I have not.
I don't think I have.
That should be the that'll be the hookup right there, the foursome. Jimmy Eat World and Bic. You have Jimmy, you have Eat, you have World and Bic.
What are you saying?
That's right, it's the 130-year-old humor of Jared Carlin. The right. zaniest comic working today.
Huh? I do love really old humor though and old jokes. The
no
best.
Kidding.
Yeah, we had not noticed that.
The two greatest, not the kind that I make up, but the two greatest jokes that I love are the really stupid, corny punchline jokes,
uh-huh.
and then the ones that take a really long time to tell for a lame punchline.
All right, start, sit, cut. George Carlin, Eddie Murphy, or who should be the third in there, Vinny?
Carrot Top. No.
Oh, here's a good one for
Jerry
him.
Seinfeld.
Oh, that's a good one. Where are you going with that, Carlin?
For stand-up, Eddie Murphy, start. Jerry Seinfeld, sit. George Carlin, cut. And
George Carlin, cut.
I've seen George Carlin in concert, and he obviously has a similar name to me. But I think his best stuff is great, but overall, as far as funniness, I think that Eddie Murphy is the funniest.
I got roped into seeing Gallagher back in a different in a different lifetime.
Yeah.
It was the dumbest thing in the world. Be sitting
Sledge-o-matic?
There with plastic bags. Yeah.
Oh, you had good seats
then. A tarp
then.
Over your head. Right.
Wow, you were in the splash zone.
Ridiculous.
The watermelon splash
yeah,
zone.
Yeah, I thought, what am I doing here?
I can't believe you saw that.
The best thing about Gallagher mm-hmm. is that his brother stole his act, because he looks similar to him, stole his act, word for word, went on tour as Gallagher 2.
You're yes. kidding.
And it, there was a long...
A long lawsuit and everything yeah, about yeah. it.
Wow.
Well, I didn't expect to be talking about Gallagher
well,
in this
no.
segment, but hey, you never know what you're going to get on this
never
show.
Never understood how siblings can just be so filthy to one another. It's one of oh. it's one of my pet things. It's just amazing to me. You can spend 20 years with somebody it living under the same roof and have no emotional connection at all. And it's because of that very reason. You're like, well, I didn't pick you.
Well, that and, you know, a good percentage of the population are just horrible people.
And
true.
So it's a very good point.
It depends how you were raised,
too.
It's a
very good point.
Competitiveness, yeah. sibling
yeah,
rivalry.
All right, coming up.
Cameron Payne will be joining us, though, by the way, 12:15.
12:15. Okay. Good, this works out, because the blast is next. Cameron Payne
nice.
At 12:15. Settle in, kids. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.